Welcome back to the state tournament edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Mike Abbott along with Bill Berg and also Mike Terzinski as we hash over day one of the state tournament, which saw a couple really tight games and a couple games that really weren't too tight. And Bergler, I'll send it over to you quick. And what's your synopsis on the first day so far?
I think we saw two tight games and then two games that really weren't so tight. Where did I hear that before?
Yeah, we had a good game opener with Waukesha and Arrowhead. Ended up being a one-goal game. In OT, Waukesha took the 2-1 victory. I think that was pretty much what we expected. It was going to be a close game between two Classic 8 rivals. Ranked 3 and 4 in the state coming into the game, and I don't think it disappointed at all.
Well, one of the things I thought that Arrowhead did nicely, they kept Ian Malcolmson pretty much under wraps. I mean, he got an assist on the power play goal, but, you know, for the most part, he was pretty much being taken care of by the defense for Arrowhead. And Arrowhead at times, I really thought was going to break this game open. Especially in the third period, because they really had some heavy pressure. But you got to give credit to Garrett Larson. He stood tall in the third period while his team was really struggling and was able to get that game to overtime. And overtime, we know what that means. Next goal wins.
Yeah, I thought Garrett Larson kept Waukesha in the game. Arrowhead put a lot of pressure on. Arrowhead was able to maintain pressure in the Waukesha zone. Waukesha got things going. They had some nice rushes off the ice and did some of their damage that way. But Arrowhead was able to get in and maintain pressure. And I really the guys keeping track of the shots at the arena. I really think they had them reversed in the third period, because the first period was even 9 shots apiece. Arrowhead really took control in the second period, outshot Waukesha 13-4, and then in the third period, it actually says that Waukesha outshot Arrowhead 12-4 in the third period, and I really don't think that happened. I think Arrowhead kept the pressure on, and Garrett Larson kept Waukesha in the game long enough for them to get the victory.
Yeah, we'll bring that up later, definitely. About the scorekeeping and such, there was some discrepancies and some errors and things that, you know, probably shouldn't happen at state tournament, but that's another thing. I think the thing that I was kind of surprised at was the fact that there were, 56 shots between the two teams in the game. I almost expected it to be a little bit less, because we had heard of the vaunted Arrowhead defense. They, Elijah Tarmala and Dylan Cox, I think, yeah. So, I mean, they did a nice job. But Waukesha with Malcolmson and the Wildermans got a lot of opportunities and got a lot of shots on goal. Just didn't score too much, which we should have mentioned also. Peter Jenna Temple played very well in net for Arrowhead along with Larson. So, good played on the goaltending end. The defense really kind of limited the quality of the shots, maybe, and Waukesha just came out ahead a little bit on the end, 2-1.
Very key in that game. You saw how important offensive zone faceoffs were, because that's how Waukesha got their game-winning goal. They won a faceoff in the offensive zone and were able to find that man on the back door and able to tap it in and give Waukesha a 2-1 overtime win. Probably if you're the two teams watching it, you kind of hope that game goes on forever to wear one of those two teams down, but it went only extra like another 4 minutes. So I think Waukesha playing that extra 4 minutes, probably I don't think it'll make that much of a difference tomorrow.
And one thing too that I found out after the game, and if you were watching the game, you probably saw this, the Arrowhead center got tossed out on the faceoff. And they brought in a different player to take the draw, and they lost the draw, and Waukesha scored on that particular faceoff. So I know there were some unhappy people on the Arrowhead side after that, with a face-off with the player getting thrown out of it. And I mean, I don't know all the nuances of that, but it's just, you know, it is what it is, and Waukesha advances today too.
Game two was another close game. It was Sun Prairie in Bayport. Sun Prairie jumped out to a 2-0 lead after one. Bayport comes back and gets two power play goals to make it a 2-2 game. And then it was a battle royale going on in the third period. And Sun Prairie, under a minute to go, gets the game-winning goal and wins 3-2. And Michael, it was one of those games where goaltending, you saw Sam Dunn today and you probably thought, wow, what a fantastic goalie. And he did a nice job. He delivered today for Sun Prairie.
He did, absolutely. He looked very good out there. And one thing that I had heard from a few people say that Riley Bay on the other end for Bayport looked like he was just kind of out of it and not doing his usual bang-up job. He was kind of all over the place. He gave up two goals in the first period, and or actually not two goals in the first period, two goals in the first two periods. But then after that, I think he got his stuff together. You know, he's a sophomore at the state tournament, first time down there, Bayport's first trip to the state, and maybe some butterflies and whatnot. But toward the end of the game, he played very well. But Sam Dunn throughout, yeah, definitely, I think, solidified his top five ranking as one of the top goaltenders in the state.
Yeah, throughout the playoffs, Bayport has been jumping out to early leads. In their first playoff game, Green Bay United did score first, but Bayport scored four goals in the first period of that game. They scored two goals in the first period against Antigo. They scored, I think, two goals in the first period against Notre Dame and three goals in the first period against Nina. So they jumped out to early leads and then held on. This was the first time that they were actually behind for an extended period. They battled back those two goals, two power play goals in less than a minute. First was in a 5-on-3, then followed up on the 5-on-4. But they got back in the game, and then I thought we were going to be heading for another overtime, but scored with just, 14 seconds left?
Well, here's one thing that I would ask you, Burglar, and MJ as well. This was Bayport's first trip at all to the state tournament. Sun Prairie has been there before, but I don't think this bunch of kids has been there, and I don't believe Chris Finkler has been there as a coach. So is the tradition of having gone there enough to kind of outweigh the fact that a team has never been there before?
Yes, in a one-word answer, yes. This group of kids hasn't been there, and this group of kids was probably a pretty young bunch when the last Sun Prairie team made it there. Last Sun Prairie goalie was Brett Wright. This was 2004 they last made it. So, yeah, that I don't think that put anything into this game.
I hate to agree with that. I think I did this once last week, too, and I agreed with MJ.
It's not always a bad thing.
Right. The school, the team, the uniforms may have been there before, but these players haven't. So it's a first for them. Well, for both of the teams. And they played well. We want to talk about, since we just talked about these two teams, these two games, we want to talk about Sun Prairie and Waukesha tomorrow?
Sure. We can talk about Sun Prairie and Waukesha. Waukesha, Ian Malcolmson, didn't look huge on the score sheet today, but I mean, to see him on the ice, he was his usual self. He's a fast, speedy skater, very skilled. He sees the ice well. He makes his teammates better. He's very intelligent out there. You know, but then on the other end, you got a good team effort by the Cardinals. You got Sam Dunn in net. I mean, it's not easy to score on these guys, but Malcolmson has been doing it all year, so I personally would give the edge to Waukesha, maybe like a 3-1 game or a 3-2 game.
Well, with the way these two goalies played today, you would probably imagine that that it will be a low-scoring game, just like we thought the Waukesha and Arrowhead would be a low-scoring game, and it was. I think a little bit, I think what I did see at Sun Prairie today, they're not the most skilled group. They're a very hard-working group. They will just try to wear you down. They'll just battle you for everything, every inch on the ice. I think Waukesha may have a little bit more up front in speed, and I like the balance that they have between those top two lines. So I'm not expecting a high-scoring game tomorrow, but maybe I'm just going to give a little bit of the edge to Waukesha because I think they have just enough offense to maybe squeak this one out. But don't be surprised if Sam Dunn steals one also.
The one thing that I noticed about Waukesha is they have a tendency to play two forward lines. And I wonder if at some point in the tournament, if they make a deep run, if that's going to maybe hurt them. Because, not playing three, one and two can get a little bit tired, and that can cause some ill effects. Bergler, what do you think about that?
Well, I think it may hurt them down the road. I don't think it will tomorrow. I think this matchup or this half of the bracket makes a case for seeding the tournament like they plan to next year. I mean, you had Arrowhead and Waukesha who finished up ranked 3 and 4, and you've got Bayport and Sun Prairie, which aren't in our rankings. If you look at the power rankings, they're somewhere down in the 20s. So I don't think the wild card in this picture, of course, is Sam Dunn in net. If he can do tomorrow what he did today and keep Sun Prairie in it, then they would have a chance. You always have a chance when you have a hot goaltender like that. But otherwise, I think Waukesha is just too much for Sun Prairie.
Well, one of the things I also think about that game is when you see that tomorrow, I think you're going to see a lot of Sun Prairie taking the body and trying to slow down Waukesha in that transition game because they like to get out there and get it going. But I don't think that watching today's game, I don't think that Waukesha likes to play a physical game. If they have to play it, so be it. It may not be to their advantage, though, which should probably make this a pretty good game. Game three had a couple of teams who were familiar with each other out of the Big Rivers Conference, Eau Claire Memorial and Hudson, 1 and 2 in the conference. And this game was one that they had split the first two meetings, but this one was all Hudson today as they win 4-0. And really, I thought for the first time seeing them this year, you guys have told me about them, I thought they looked very dominant.
Well, there are three guys on Hudson that'll stand out. And I mean, those aren't the only three on the team that are really high quality players. You have, of course, Chase Blackman, the defenseman, who's arguably one of the probably top two or three players in the state. He's just a very talented blue liner. Aaron Grounds, a junior forward, who next year is definitely going to be a Player of the Year candidate. And Anthony Howard in net. Anthony Howard had 11 saves today in the shutout. And he wasn't always tested, but every time he was tested, he stood up. The Raiders have a great supporting cast. They just outplayed ECM today. Shots were, I believe, 30-11. They were just the dominant team on the ice, and the fact that they maybe just scored 4 goals might have been a little surprise. I think they were more dominant than that even.
Yes, and getting back to your comment about Waukesha, skating primarily two lines, Hudson plays not all 20 guys. Their backup goalie didn't get in. But the other 19 all play. I mean, they rotate their lines. They're deep, yes. They have a star player at each level, forward, defense, and goalie, and just a sound group behind them. And they just keep coming at you in waves. And I think we pretty much, except for MJ, who has purple blood. the rest of us kind of predicted that Hudson was going to pretty much have their way with Eau Claire.
And they pretty much did. You know me, every once in a while I like to pull from the underdog.
No, I like to pull for Eau Claire
Memorial. I like to pull for Eau Claire Memorial, yeah. But with this game, you could just see as it went on that Hudson was the more dominant team, and they were the more deep team, no doubt about that. And they were able to get a 4-0 win. And moves us on to game four of the day. West Salem and Wausau West. Do you want to talk about seeding? This was one of those games that probably you won't see many of in the next coming years if they do seed it. As West Salem came in, so many years come close in the sectional final. But they got over the hump over against RWD to get to playoffs, to the state tournament. And then take on, what do you get for congratulations? You get Wausau West. And West Salem held in as long as I thought they could, but in the end, Wausau West a 7-0 winner.
I think Rapids coach Pat McDonald said it best a few years back when it was like, I don't remember exactly, 3 or 4 years in a row, Section 4 got the opening game against the eventual state champion. So it's like, okay, congratulations, you made a state tournament, but here's who you have to play the first game. And that kind of happened to West Salem and Coach Eric Borey. I know he came in and they had hoped to fare a little bit better, but Wausau West, let's face it, guys. I mean, they're either the top team or the second team in the state. And 7-0, I mean, they just dominated in that game. West Salem's got some nice players, but they were just outplayed by three strong lines. And, you know, it's just the way it is for them.
I thought West Salem had a good strategy coming in. Wausau West, we've talked about, is very fast. And West Salem came into the game, you know, to play physical. They were just banging right from the start. They were, you know, just, you know, trying to neutralize speed by knocking people down. And they did a good job of that. And, I mean, the game was close for two periods. I mean, Wausau West taking advantage of a very efficient power play. Their first power play opportunity took them 9 seconds to score. Their second power play chance, it took them 6 seconds to score. Their third power play took them a whole minute and a half.
Slackers.
Yeah. But, you know, those power plays are what gave them the lead. And then kind of the wheels fell off for West Salem in the third period. And I think that had mainly to do with Wausau West's speed just, you know, wearing them down. West Salem did a nice job of, you know, skating with Wausau West, but that's the way Wausau plays all the time. I think West Salem had to give maximum effort to keep up with them, and then finally caught up with them in the third period.
Well, you talk about West Salem trying to bang with Wausau West, and, okay, so we know West has the speed. How much, I mean, that has to take a lot out of West Salem, trying to be physical in that game. And not really succeeding. So physically and mentally, what does it do to him?
I got no idea.
All I know is West Salem held in there as long as they could. And, you know, talking to you during the game, it was going to have to take a perfect performance, a perfect storm for them to win this game. And you knew the chances of that, so... Wausau West goes on and wins the game 7-0, and Eric Borey's team had a nice season. They put together a nice run, but unfortunately they hit a stone wall in the state quarterfinals with Wausau West.
I'd just like to say to our former broadcast partner and good friend Eric Borey, I know you're listening. you guys had a great season. You got nothing to be ashamed of. You repped West Salem very well, Red Raider hockey very well. You guys did a good job, and come back next season and try to move to the next step.
Well, in this show, the next step is tomorrow night, Hudson and Wausau West. How do you see this one? This one, you know, it seems like every year we get to the semifinal game and say this could be a classic. And you know what, guys? You look at this one, this could really be a special game.
Well, this is your definite case for seeding, right? 1 and 2 should be on opposite sides of the bracket, not on the same side. So, in essence, you have 1 and 2 facing off in the semifinal round. Hudson, a great defensive squad. West, pretty prolific on the offense. They play 3 lines. They fly around. They're very good scoring. I don't know. This will probably end up being a 7-6 game, but it's going to be a great one for sure. Absolutely.
I agree with most of what you said, except the part about Wausau West, you know, being great at scoring. That kind of is, they're great at moving the puck and getting the puck in the zone and putting a lot of shots on net. They don't always have a lot of goals to show for that at the end of the game. And that has cost. I mean, the few games that they've lost this year, there's only one game where they actually got outshot. They outshoot teams and they just don't score a lot of goals. And I don't know why I always call him Jimmy Howard. I think that's the Anthony. Detroit goalie. Anthony Howard, I think Anthony Howard in net could be the difference maker in this game. Hudson's got a lot of offensive firepower. West has a lot of speed and puts a lot of pressure on the other team's net. I think it's definitely going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. And I think that Anthony Howard just could be the difference maker in pulling Hudson through on this one.
I think in this one, I think that Hudson will pull this game out. And the reason why is because of all the reasons you gave. But I think I like the way I saw Chase Blackman play today. You saw a lot of Chase Blackman defensively, but you also did get to see quite a bit of him offensively. Not afraid to jump in, and his teammates seem to cover well when he is up in the rush. So I say Chase Blackman may be the key in this game.
Well, I agree. Look at the Hudson coaching staff. Brooks Lockwood, Ben Mettler, Davis Drewiski. I mean, these guys, Brian Bosworth, these guys all played for Hudson back in
Wrong
the day.
Wrong Bosworth.
Brian.
Ben.
Ben, I'm sorry. Sorry, Boz. Sorry, Boz. But, I mean, you know, and Dean Talafas also has worked with them. I mean, look at the legends that have coached these guys and are coaching these guys. This team plays very, they're calm, they're concise, they know what to do. You know, they are just a team that plays completely under control. You know, Wausau West has got an awesome team. These are 1-2, in my mind, in the state, and have been for most of the year. They battle back and forth. This is going to be a great game, and this could be one of the best games, I think, in state tournament history. I mean, I'm going to flip a coin, and I'll let you know tomorrow what it comes up as.
Well, I forgot. I made a mistake earlier. I have to pick Wausau West to win this game because, they're at the hotel here with us.
So they don't pull the fire alarm on you, right? Well, both games should be pretty good tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that. And the girls' semifinals get started tomorrow. A couple of girls' games starting at 11 o'clock, and then the boys' semifinals will start at around 5 o'clock. So we'll be looking forward to that. So that'll do it from here. We're going to wrap it up. And tomorrow, just follow us on the site. We will go ahead and get everything up to date and keep you informed. Remember, tomorrow night we will be broadcasting the Sun Prairie game. That will be the one game we will be carrying right here on Wisconsin Prep Hockey. So for Burglar, Trasher, I'm Mike Hammett. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey State Tournament Edition.